It is so very good to see everybody who is here this morning. I agree with David. It seems that more people are in the auditorium this morning, and hopefully I do see some light at the end of the tunnel beginning to be there, and hopefully over time we will have more and more people in the auditorium. But for everybody that is here in the auditorium and in the parking lot and throughout the building, we are so glad to have you with us this morning. You'll notice the title of the sermon is in the form of a question. And so I want you to, if you will, answer this question in your own heart pertaining to your relationship with God through Jesus. And the question is this: who is Jesus to us? So in particular, who is Jesus to me? We're going to be examining the scriptures this morning and hopefully coming to understand the importance of Jesus in our lives as Christians. The first thing I want you to see is when he was being born in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. The angel speaking to the shepherds who were watching over their flocks by night. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus is our Savior. Now you may not understand what that word means. I'm assuming that you do, but I'll define it for you. It goes back to the verb save. And the idea is that we are lost. We are condemned in our sin. And if we die in this lost and condemned state, we will be lost forever, separated from God, and end up in a place that I believe exists that is called hell. I believe hell is real. And I believe if our sin is not dealt with, everyone who is in sin will end up in hell. I don't want to go there. I believe it's real. I don't want to go there. God doesn't want you to go there either. And so what God has done for us, he has given us a Savior, an individual through which you can be saved from the wrath of God, from hell. Going back to the text now in John chapter 1, verse 29. This is John the Baptist speaking now, the time when Jesus is coming to be baptized by John. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In the Old Testament, when people sinned, the children of Israel, the Lamb died. The people deserved death, but the Lamb died instead. And unfortunately, they continued to sin. They deserved death, but the Lamb died instead. We sin. We deserve spiritual death. We deserve forever being separated from God. But the Lamb of God died instead. And he died for the sins of the world. He died for my sins, my foolishness, my rebellion against my God, my choosing to go my way and not God's way. Which for that I deserve to be separated from God. But God doesn't want that for me. God doesn't want that for you. And he understood the only way you could have any hope of being with him in heaven, any hope of not going to hell, is for Jesus to die for your sins. For there to be a sacrifice made so that the sins you have committed can be forgiven. Going over to Acts chapter 13, verse 23, speaking about Jesus, it says, "For this man's seed, according to the promise, God has raised up for Israel a Savior." Who is that Savior? Jesus, the Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 now, verse 10. "But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The death we're talking about here is spiritual death, separation from God. The life we're talking about here is eternal life. He has abolished death. We're going to conquer physical death because we're going to rise from the dead, but we're going to conquer spiritual death because we're going to be allowed to be with God in heaven. Death is not going to rule over us. Jesus has abolished death, and not only that, he's brought life, immortality, eternal life, to light, to where we can see a way to it And listen, folks, we can attain it. We can attain to immortality. We can attain to eternal life in heaven with God. Rather than eternal condemnation, eternal life. Who made this possible? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. By His death, His burial, and His resurrection, He has made us saved through Him. In Revelation 7, 14 through 15, speaking about the individuals who are in heaven, he says, "And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them.'" Okay. I want you in your mind now to take yourself, to a point in time, hopefully in your future, and it's coming. And the point I'm wanting you to take yourself to is when you are before the throne of God Almighty. Yeah. When you are in heaven itself, in the presence of our Creator, in the presence of God before His throne. The only reason I can be there is because I have washed my soul and made it white in the blood of the Lamb. You remember what John said? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That includes me. That includes you. And so for us to be able to be in heaven in the presence of God and not forever separated from Him in hell, we needed someone to save us from the wrath of God, to save us from our foolish sin. And God sent Jesus as a Savior. So who is Jesus to me? He is my Savior. And the only hope I have of being in heaven is because of Him. The only hope I have of being in the presence of God is Jesus. From 1 Timothy chapter 2 now, verse 5, 1 Timothy 2 and 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Who is Jesus to us? Who is Jesus to me? He is the one, notice the term one here, one God, one mediator. He is the one and only one mediator between God and me, between God and you. Now let me explain what a mediator is. If you want to approach God, you have to go through Jesus. And when God speaks to us, He speaks through Jesus. When you go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24, it says, "To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." If you go back to the beginning of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it's not on the outline. It speaks about how God, at various times and in various ways in times past, spoken to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, folks. It came from God the Father through the mediator, Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, who in turn revealed it to the apostles and prophets. They spoke it. They wrote it down. We read it. We understand it. This is how we got, you know, we're just saying about give me the Bible. That's how we got it. Through the mediator, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of the new covenant. But going further with this concept of mediation, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, "Who is he condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, and who is even at the right hand of God." Now notice this. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead, conquering death, freeing us from bondage to Satan, sin, and death. But look at the rest of it. "Who is even at the right hand of God." But look at the rest of the verse. "Who also makes intercession for us." Intercession. he speaks to God the Father on my behalf. Because, unfortunately, I still mess up. And there's times in my life when I need grace. And there's times in my life when I cry for mercy. And there's times in my life when I need help. And I bring all of my petitions, all of my prayers, all my cares, all my concerns, all of my needs to God, listen, through Jesus. That is why at the close of every prayer we pray in Jesus' name. We are approaching God through Jesus. Every prayer that reaches God Almighty the Father goes through the intercessor, the mediator, the one mediator, Jesus the Christ. In Hebrews 7 now, verse 25, it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He is alive forevermore, never to die again. And his function in our relationship with God is he is living to make intercession for us. Now, this ties in very closely with him being our high priest, because they're basically describing the same work. In Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Here in the book of Hebrews, Jesus as our mediator and intercessor is described as being our high priest. He has passed through the heavens. He is in heaven itself at the right hand of God. Going back to the text here in Hebrews 4 now, 14 through 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay. Our high priest, he understands us completely. You cannot approach God through Jesus, and you cannot say to Jesus, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the temptation I'm struggling with. You don't understand the pressures of my life, folks. He understands it completely, even more than you. He was tempted in all points as we are. Listen, folks, God will not allow you to be tempted. You know the rest of the verse. Beyond which you are able. Okay. Then I would probably go from that verse and say Jesus was tempted a lot more than you and I ever think about being tempted. You know, there in Matthew 4 when it says he was hungry, you know, after he went 40 days and 40 nights without eating, he was hungry. How hungry do you think he was hungry? Kind of hungry or I'm starving hungry. Hungry like we ain't ever thought about hungry. Yeah, the second one. He understands, folks, what it is to be tortured, to be hurt. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He understands us. Our high priest understands us. He can lay hands on us both. He can make intercession for us to God the Creator because he understands us completely. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in the form of flesh and blood so that you can understand what it is to be human and go through temptation from Satan. Going back to Hebrews now, chapter 7. It says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, but first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. The pinnacle event in the entire history of mankind is Christ crucified. But it doesn't stop there. You see, he conquered sin in his crucifixion. He conquered death in his resurrection, but it doesn't stop there. Then he ascended into heaven itself. He went into heaven itself, folks. You know anybody else can do that? No. No. I don't know anybody that can go into heaven itself. Jesus did. And then he went into the presence of God Almighty himself. Look at this next verse. For Christ has not entered in the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's when he took his blood into the presence of God for us. And that is when the remission of sins was able to be pronounced by God. Everybody's sin, whether you're going back to Abel or Noah or Abraham or Moses or John the Baptist or Mary the mother of Jesus or me. Everybody's sin who is going to be forgiven is going to be forgiven by the same sacrifice. Every human being that is going to be in the presence of God is going to be there because of who Jesus is. He is, yes, our Savior, but now he functions this very moment as our mediator and our high priest in things pertaining to sin. And when we sin, we have someone who can make intercession for us to God himself so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. So who is Jesus to us? He's our high priest. He's my mediator. In Acts 5, verse 31, going back to it, him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Earlier we talked about him being the savior. Now I want to go back to the same verse and look at another word here, and that is prince. Let me ask you, folks, how much higher in authority and preeminence is there than being at the right hand of God Almighty, the Creator? Eh? Anything else higher than that? Only God himself. That is where Jesus is, folks. And so when he says he's a prince, I like the way it's put over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 14 through 15, that you keep his commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, look at this now, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, he's a king, but he's the King of kings. Yes, he's our Lord, but he's the Lord of lords. He's the top king in the entire universe. There is no one higher than Jesus, our King, except God Almighty the Father. So who is Jesus to us? He's our King. And you got to understand the relationship between the King and the citizens of the kingdom. The King lays down the law by which we, the citizens of the kingdom, are to live. And we, the citizens of the kingdom, obey. We obey the commands of the law of the King. It is not enough to recognize that Jesus is the King, that he is at the right hand of God. He has to be your King. That is a relationship described there to where you are bowing the knee and confessing him as the Christ and as being your King. I go over to Philippians on this, chapter 2, 9 through 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you realize every knee is going to bow? The question is this: when is it going to bow? Is it going to bow before your death or after? If you bow the knee before your death and you confess the name of Jesus as being the King and the Christ before your death, and he is your King by faith, and you do keep his commandments by faith, when your death comes, it's going to be a good day. But if you do not confess his name and do not bow the knee, and when we say bow the knee, folks, that is, I recognize you're my King. If you will not bow the knee now, it's not going to be good for you after you die. when you recognize He is the Christ, He is the King, He did die for my sins, and God is real, and so is hell. It's not going to do you any good after you die. You need to understand who He is and have that relationship with Him to where He is indeed King to you. And then finally, He's your best friend. Over in John chapter 15, 12 through 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down your life for your friends. You know, I've come to realize in my life, one of the great blessings of life is friends. Do you know who your best friend is? It's not me. Your best friend is Jesus. There's nobody that loves you more than Him. Isn't that wonderful? To realize He's real. He knows me personally. He loves me more than anyone. He's my friend. He's the best friend I've ever got. He loves me so much, He laid down His life for me, so I can be with Him, so I can be in heaven with God. The Apostle Paul speaks about this in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see that verse? That's speaking the truth about every one of us. Our relationship with God is a relationship driven by faith. That's what God wants. He wants us to have faith and trust in Him, to have hope and godly fear, to have love. And by this faith, by this trust, by this hope, by this godly fear, by this love, keep His commandments. But know this, your King is the one mediator between God and man. Your King is your advocate and intercessor, to where when we do mess up, your King speaks to God Almighty on your behalf. And your King is your best friend who loves me and gave Himself for me. When I realize every stroke upon His back by the whip because He loved me so that I could be healed spiritually. Every second He hung on the cross, every time He pulled Himself up by the spikes, driven through His hands and feet, so He could get another breath, was for me. Because He loves me. Yeah, I got a lot of friends, but I ain't got any friend like that except Jesus. Who is He to us? Jesus is our Savior. All of us who will be saved is going to be because of His sacrifice for us. All of us who will be in heaven, in the temple of God, before the throne of God, will be there because our souls have been washed clean and made white by the blood of the Lamb, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our mediator. When God speaks to us as He has, He spoke to us through His Son. When we speak to God in prayer, we go through the mediator, Jesus Christ, who then becomes our intercessor and advocate, speaking to God on our behalf. He's been tempted in all points as we are. He understands you completely. And He's the one who approaches God about every sin you ask for forgiveness of. He's our high priest. He's the one who went into the presence of God itself in heaven with his blood that he offered at Calvary so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. He is at the right hand of God Almighty right now. I believe it with all of my heart. He is there right now at the right hand of God, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Christ. But he must be my King, to where I submit and I bow the knee and I confess that he is the Christ, and then I obey the commands of the King by faith. It is a relationship we're talking about here. And finally, the beauty of it all is my King and my Savior is my best friend. And I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to be in his presence. Terrible parallel, but when my wife goes out of town and I'm there, and it's, you know, I'm okay after one or two days, but by the third or fourth day, I'm just sad. You don't want to be around me. And then when I'm in there in the airport, and I go and I look at the tail, yeah, she's coming, okay, she's coming. And then I sit up there watching the television, if you've ever been to Little Rock, and sitting there looking at the television, okay, there she is! And then I get up and run over there and stand by the steps because I just got to be a little bit closer, a little bit sooner. Oh, she's the best friend I got on this side. But you're not my best friend. Jesus is your best friend. He loves you more than anyone. So who is Jesus to us? Yes, he's our Savior. He's our mediator. He's our high priest, he's our King, he's our best friend. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who is not in Christ yet, why are you waiting? What's holding you back? If you don't believe he's the Christ, the Son of God, that's good enough reason right there. If you've got questions about who Jesus is, you need to go to the Word. Faith comes through hearing the Word. You need to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on your own and start reading it on your own. Read about the virgin birth. Read about the miracles. Read about the crucifixion. Read about the resurrection. Because if you're going to have faith, that's the only way it's going to come. If you've come to the point of having faith but you haven't obeyed the gospel, then be willing to confess your faith. And then driven by your faith, keep the commandments of God in your life. In one word, repent. That's what repentance is, folks. To where you put off the old man, you're putting on the new man, and you're following the commands of the King by faith in your life. If you're willing to make that commitment, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already and there's sin between yourself and your God, guess what? You got a mediator, you got an advocate, you've got an intercessor waiting for you to bring it to him. If there's sin between you and your God, take it to God directly through the mediator, Jesus Christ, praying for forgiveness of it, and get up and start following the Word of God by faith again. The mediator, the intercessor, the advocate will approach God on your behalf, and God will forgive you. We'll pray for you, and we'll pray with you, and we'll do the best we can to help you and encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.